And we'll begin in 1 John chapter 5. As you know, last week I shared a message about the Holy Spirit in you. And we saw that the Holy Spirit has come into the earth and has a dual working in the lives of each and every believer. He lives within us. And that is so he can help us to develop the character of Christ within us. And he rests upon us to enable us to give us ability beyond our own ability so that we can be witnesses for him in the earth. And so I'm going to continue along that theme, but from a little different vantage point. Notice 1 John chapter 5. And John, the apostle, says something in verses 4 and 5. And he says this, 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. He says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" Now, this is in part the essence of the gospel and what we believe. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God, not just a prophet. There are many who believe that Jesus, yes, he was a prophet and God used him. There are others who believe that he was a witness of the kingdom. But they neglect to talk about the purpose for his birth, which is what we celebrate at Christmas time. Jesus came into the earth for a purpose. And it was not to establish a new religion, but rather he was born into the earth as a sacrifice for sin so that we could live a new way. And so the interesting thing is when you study the account of Jesus' birth and the events surrounding his birth, the wise men, the magi, who came from the east, came bearing gifts. And those gifts are significant because they represent, in part, his purpose. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is a gift that is fit for a king. Frankincense is a gift that is suited for a priest. But myrrh is a gift that is used in the preparation of bodies for burial. And so they knew somehow that Jesus was born for a divine purpose. Yes, he is our king. Yes, he is our priest. But yes, that was accomplished through his death. And so now, on the other side of the cross, John is writing and saying that Jesus has given us victory. And we have overcome the world through our faith. Now, the word overcome in the Greek is a Greek word, nikeo, and it simply means to subdue, to conquer, or to get the victory. Now, while you have your finger in 1 John, we're going to come back to there. Turn to the left to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit and you, and this is installment number 2. We know that the Holy Spirit came to live within us, to help us develop the character of Christ, but he also comes to rest upon us, to make us a vibrant witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the kingdom of God. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul says this by the Holy Spirit, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Now the King James Version says it like this, "Now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ, and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Now, there are some words there that we need to understand. And this will help you to put in perspective how powerful and how real the redemptive work of Jesus is. Notice that he says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph." Everybody say always.
Always.
Always talks about the condition of life that we live in. And he's letting us know that in every circumstance and in every situation and in every issue that we face, he has given us the ability to overcome or to have victory. Now, I'm going to put that in proper perspective because some people have this macho attitude that means I win, I never lose. Well, you know, let's be biblically accurate about that. What does always mean? "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Well, the word always is a Greek word, pantote. And it's a very descriptive word, and I love the way the Greek language is. It's so plain, you'd have to have help to miss this. All right? When is always? You ever think about that? Because in our Christian life and in Christian tradition, they would give you the impression that victory is not something that you can experience always. Victory is something that you can experience from time to time, or when the Lord wills. And we even sing it in some of our gospel songs, you know, sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes always level to the, almost level to the ground. I don't know where that song came from, but I don't sing it. Okay. My brothers-in-law, you know them, when they were young, they used to get ambushed in churches, you know, and say, "We're going to have the Carr brothers to sing." And they'd get up and sing, "Trouble's in my way." Some of y'all know that song, "Trouble's in my way, trouble's in my way. I have to cry sometimes, I have to cry sometimes. Trouble's in my way, trouble's in my way. I have to cry some." Well, you know, you go around singing songs like that, man, I'm telling you, it's hard to find victory when you have that kind of attitude. Because you're expecting to lose. You're expecting the gospel not to work for you. Well, this word always, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph." What is always? When is always? Well, the word pantote tells us. The question is, when is always? Pantote means at every when. At every when. That means in every circumstance, in every situation, God has given you the ability to overcome and to turn that thing around and to experience victory. Now you say, "Well, Pastor Young, it doesn't look like that." I don't care what it looks like. The story's not over yet. And see, the problem is all too often we face a difficult circumstance and we think, "Well, that's it. It's over." No, this isn't just another opportunity for God to show you His power and His grace. All we have to do is trust Him. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I wish I could preach a message that sounded something like this. You know, if you come to Jesus and give your life to Him, He will bless you, and you will never, ever have another problem as long as you live. Not only that, you'll float to heaven on flowery beds of ease. You'll never have a disagreement with another person. You'll never face another financial hardship. You will never be attacked physically in your body. And everybody will always love you. And everything will always turn out to your good immediately. Now, I wish I could preach that, but it's not true. You'll find many times that when you do come into relationship with God, or you make an endeavor to advance the kingdom of God or His purpose in your life, you'll find almost immediately you'll face opposition. Some dumb thing will come up. You'll hit a hardship. You'll hit a speed bump. You'll get attacked physically. People will look at you sideways, come at you sideways. And sometimes you got to scratch your head and you say, what in the world is, what is going on? But you know, that's always been the pattern all throughout the Scripture. You know, look at Daniel. Daniel was a godly man, doing the right thing, praying every day. Daniel wasn't bothering anybody. But because of jealousy, other people in Babylon, modern day Iraq, wanted to get rid of him. So they launched an investigation into his life. Guess what they found? Nothing. No scandal. Because he was faithful. But then they decided to persecute him because he prayed three times a day. He's not bothering anybody. He's doing the right thing, yet trouble came. Paul was converted on the road to Damascus and now starts preaching the gospel, and trouble came. I mean, every place the guy went, he either had revival or a riot. Sometimes he had both. Persecution arose. Why? Because we have an enemy. We have an adversary who's opposed to everything that's godly and everything that has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. But even in those situations, God has given you the ability to overcome. Now, there's another word in that verse, now thanks be unto God, which always, pantote, at every win, causes us to triumph in Christ. That word triumph is an ancient word, and it means to lead an acclamatory procession. And this is the way it worked. In ancient times, whenever a king conquered another nation, then he would go back home and have a triumphant procession. Or, as we call it today in our modern culture, a parade. And he would bring down the main boulevard in his capital city a procession of all the goods and all the things that he took from that nation he just conquered. Not only that, if the king of that other nation survived, he would bring him in chains and parade him in front of his people. Not only that, he'd bring his best troops and parade them in front of his people. He'd bring the best cattle, the best animals, the gold, the silver, just to show off what they had done. But what this verse is telling us is that through Jesus Christ, we not only at every win can experience victory, but God will cause a triumphal or triumphant procession. In other words, it'll be so evident that everybody will see the results of your victory. Now, remember I said I wish I could preach a message that sounded like this. If you come to Jesus, you'll never ever have a problem for the rest of your life. The Bible talks about overcoming again and again and again. We have to be able to use the tools that God has provided us so that we can overcome. Now thanks be unto God, which always, pantote, at every win, causes us to triumph, that acclamatory procession, in every place. The word place is the Greek word topos. And topos is the root word from which we get topography, or a map, or territory. In other words, through Jesus Christ, you can overcome in every area or every place. Everybody say every. Amen. That means he leaves nothing out. Amen. That means victory for you is total and complete. But there's something that we have to do, and that's called overcome. Amen? Amen. Now, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And what I want to show you something, because we've got to know that in our life for Jesus, there is a reward. Everybody say reward. Reward. In other words, there is a payoff. In other words, there's something that God has waiting for you. because of your efforts on the earth. Now, grace is free. God's gifts are free. We cannot pay for them. But even though they're free, there was a tremendous cost affixed to it. Jesus gave his life that we could be free. Notice I said free, not religious. Notice I said free, not religious. I'm going to read something that Reinhard Bonnke said several years ago. I thought this was great. Keep your finger in Revelation chapter 2. Listen to what he said. He said, preaching is not sermonizing. We don't deliver sermons, we deliver people. Mary Magdalene was not helped by theology. She simply met Jesus. Pulpit essays on humanism will not bring spiritual freedom. By proclaiming the word of faith, we turn the key in the lock and prison doors open. The gospel is not about reformation, renovation, or decoration, but liberation. Jesus didn't come to make life in prison bearable. He came to set the captives free. Amen. He didn't come to make you comfortable while you're in your mess. He came to get you out of your mess. Amen. Amen? He came to set the captives free. Now, there's a payoff or a reward for overcoming. It's our faith that is the tool that enables us to overcome so that we can gain victory at every time in every area. Now notice this, Revelation chapter 2. Here are promises that God has made to overcomers. Notice verse 7. Revelation 2:7. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Notice verse 11. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Notice verse 17. To him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written which no man knew, saving he that receives it. Man, that's good. Notice verse 26, Revelation 2:26. He that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him I will give power over the nations. You know, sometimes we are short-sighted in our understanding of our Christian faith. Wednesday night, we were talking about relationships. And one of the things that came up was a statement that Jesus made about judging. And he said, judge not lest ye be judged, for with the same judgment you judge, you will be judged. And people have taken that scripture and taken half of it and thought it means, well, don't judge. Bible says, don't judge. You know, I had a woman one time argue with me. Bible says, don't judge. I said, you didn't read the whole thing. She said, well, I don't believe it says anything other than don't judge. And so I opened the scripture. I had her read it out loud. I said, now do you have a different understanding of that? She said, well, I got to call my pastor. I said, I don't care what your pastor says. This is the word of God. You know, I didn't say it disrespectfully. I said, I'm sure your pastor would agree that the Bible's correct. Well, I don't know about that. I got to ask my pastor. Well, that's good. You have respect for your pastor, but, you know, you need to respect the Word of God, too. But anyway, we were talking about that and on Wednesday night, and there's something that Paul said, and he wrote to the church at Corinth because they had a situation in their midst, and they didn't do anything about it because a lot of them had that same attitude. Well, don't judge. Don't judge. That's not what the Bible says. And so Paul said, you should have judged. And because you didn't, I will. And then he said this. He said, don't you have people in the church who could judge these matters? And then he said this. Don't you know that you will judge angels? And everybody went, huh? What? Yeah. You will judge angels.
Here, the Bible says that to him that overcometh, I will give power over the nations. What you do on earth has great significance for later. Will you be an overcomer? Or will you just go with the flow? Get run over. Are you with me? No, you need to live this victorious life. To him that overcometh, I will give power over the nations. I don't know all the details and ramifications of that, but I do know that's some pretty lofty stuff. You will judge angels? See, y'all sitting there thinking angels are little fat babies with wings. Uh-uh. No. I truly believe, based on what the Scripture says, that each one of us has at least one angel. Because Jesus said in the Gospel of Luke, don't forbid these little ones from coming to me, for in heaven their angels do behold the face of my Father. They're angels. I truly believe that if you saw your angel, it would frighten you. Because they're not little fat babies with wings. You're going to see wings this afternoon, but just keep that in proper perspective. This is a children's program, okay? You're going to see wings, but they don't look like that. But I've known of some men who've seen their angels, and it startled them because they were huge, and they were strong, and they were mighty. And they're designed to minister for you. You're an heir of salvation, and they keep you out of some trouble. They listen to the voice of His Word. Let them hear it coming out of your mouth. Amen. Amen. I truly believe many times our angels are limited because they don't hear anything that they can act on. Because we don't understand that God wants us to win in every situation, at every time. Amen. Notice this, more promises to the overcomer. Revelation 2:26. He that overcomes and keeps my works to the end, I will give him power over the nations. Turn over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Here are some more promises that God makes to the overcomer. Verse 5. He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father, and before his angels. Notice verse 12. Him that overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Notice verse 21. That him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. There again, that's some weighty stuff. Pastor Bill, what does that mean? I don't know, but you'll find out if you overcome. Amen. And last but not least, you don't have to turn there, write this down. Revelation 21:7 says this. Revelation 21:7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen. God wants you to overcome. Amen. Not when you get to heaven, but right here on the earth. Amen. That's why Jesus died. It is the will of God that we live victoriously in this present world. Amen. I like what I heard John Osteen say many, many years ago. And John Osteen is the father of Joel Osteen. He went to be with the Lord back about 98, 99. Dynamic preacher. He's the reason that Lakewood Church is as strong and as big as it is today. I talk about him often. But Terry Mize, Terry Mize is one of my Facebook friends. He's a missionary who's preached the gospel all around the world. And he happened to be sitting in John Osteen's office one day. And he said, I sat there for 40 minutes. They did nothing but sign checks. I thought they were doing payroll, he said. Their church was much smaller then. Instead of having 40,000 members, they only had about 11,000 at the time. And he said, I'm sitting in his office and he's signing checks for 40 minutes. I said, Pastor Osteen, what are you doing? He said, oh, we're writing missions checks. We're sending checks to our missionaries. He said, you've been signing checks for 40 minutes. He said, well, we support a lot of missionaries. He said, well, what is your missions budget? He said, well, we send about $1 million a month to missions. Preaching the gospel around the world. The gospel that sets people free and brings victory. Amen. And that's why Lakewood Church is so strong today.
Amen.
Not because of Joel.
Right.
It's because of his father.
Amen.
And the seed that he planted.
Amen.
But I heard John Osteen say this. He said, a lot of people talk about the sweet by and by. Everything will be all right when we get to heaven. He said, thank God for the sweet by and by. He said, but we live in the nasty here and now. He said, Jesus has made provision for the nasty here and now. Not only the sweet by and by. Now, turn with me in your Bibles again to 1 John chapter 5. And we'll finish with this. 1 John chapter 5. We're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit. He has come to develop the character of Christ within you. And he's come to rest upon you so that you can be a powerful, effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God in the earth.
Amen.
He's also rested upon you so that you can overcome. You're going to be challenged in life. You're going to face difficulty.
Amen.
I mean, I wish I could tell you it's not coming, but it is. But at least I can help you get through it, navigate over it. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, really the key to victory is having faith in what the Word of God says. Just trust what the Scripture says to do. I often refer to the Bible as our toolbox. You know, I've done a lot of things lately with tools. And you know, as a guy, you feel kind of proud. Now, Mike, you do this all the time. I don't. Okay? You break out some tools, you fix something, you renovate something. You do it all the time. I don't. And so when I open my toolbox and accomplish something, I feel good. I'll tell you what I did. My wife wanted a TV in the bedroom. Did I tell you guys this story? My wife, Fred, you heard it. I shared it with the men. My wife wanted a big screen TV in the bedroom because many times we're sitting there watching a basketball game or something at night and we fall asleep on the couch. Well, when you fall asleep on the couch, it doesn't work too well. You get up at 1:30 in the morning, you're all discombobulated. You're like, oh, I did it again, fell asleep on the couch. So she wanted a flat screen that we could lay in the bed and watch. And so Thanksgiving Day, Walmart had some doorbuster specials. I didn't forget about 1 John. Just keep your finger there. They had some doorbuster specials. And one of them was a 40-inch flat-screen TV for like $179. And so we had Thanksgiving dinner, and at our house is the gathering place for everybody to come over. So one of the nephews who works at Walmart said, I got to eat and go back to work. I said, you guys are getting ready for the Black Friday sale. He said, well, it actually started today. I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, started at 6 o'clock. Well, now it's 8-something. And so, you know, I was finished eating, so me and Valerie's godmother went down to Walmart because she wanted a TV. Well, I asked the guy, do you have any more of those doorbuster TVs? He said, yeah, those are the last two, and it's in somebody's buggy. He said, we're out. So I decided to get another TV. Make a long story short, it was sitting in the wrong place. It was $50 more than I thought, and now I'm up to $348. I said, no. I said, this said $298 on the shelf. The doorbuster was $179. So they had somebody come up. I went back. I said, see, right there, it says $298. He said, yeah, it's in the wrong spot. It's supposed to be over here. And we're looking at the shelf. He said, things have been so mixed up. He said, but wait, what's this over here? He said, there's one of the doorbusters nobody saw. And so I got a 40-inch flat-screen, high-def TV for $149. I thought, I'm going to get me a bracket mounted on the wall. And so we did, and it's been sitting in the corner for ever since Thanksgiving. So Val says, well, I guess I'll have to get somebody over here to put that up, huh? I said, no, I can do it. So I got my toolbox, and, you know, Minister Charles helped me. We put the one up downstairs in the coffee clutch area. So I knew what to do. So I measured. I had my leveler, and I drilled the holes. You know, I just bought a new drill at Lowe's. Man, it was on sale, and it works great. And so I had to keep making the hole bigger, though, because it was. And so I put the doohickeys in there. I don't know what it is called. And so I put them in there. I had it. I put the bracket on. I screwed it down. Put the TV on there. I had it just right. The only problem is it wasn't hooked up to the cable. And so we're thinking we got to go buy a splitter. I'm thinking, wait a minute, I got a splitter at the other house. So I went to the other house. Sure enough, I had a splitter. I had the extra cable. I came in, hooked it all up, and, you know, hit the thing, and it programmed and set. And what do you know? We got TV in the bedroom. The only problem is the phone doesn't work now. And the Wi-Fi went out. And so the kids are like, hey, is the Wi-Fi? What happened to the Wi-Fi? I don't know. You know, but here I'm kind of proud. Yeah, look at this. I got the TV up and it's working. And I knocked out the other two things. I don't know.
So when's Mike?
No, I got the cable guy coming this afternoon. He's supposed to be there at 2 o'clock. But, you know, hey, you know, at least I tried. But listen, the Bible is our toolbox. My job as a pastor is to teach you how to use the tools in the box. See, it's one thing to have a nice shiny toolbox sitting in your garage. It's another thing to know how to use those things properly so that they work. Amen? And I, like a lot of men, have some tools that I have never used. Now, I've gotten to the point now, I bought these things, I'm using these things, I have very few tools in my garage I have never used. And so now I'm at a stage in life, if I don't use it, I get rid of it. It's just taking up space, you know? And I don't buy it if I don't need it. But listen, we face things in life that are challenging. We've got to know how to use the tools. And many times, people face situations in life, listen to me carefully, and they've sat up in churches for decades, and they've never been taught anything about how to use these tools. And so when a mountain of crisis is in their face, they are like somebody who has never been born again. And they're looking at a mountain, and they're like a baby, and they're crying out for help. And you're trying all the religious things that you've been taught to do, and none of them work. It's the victory that Jesus brings that works. And our faith is the tool that we use to achieve victory. Now, 1 John, go to chapter 4. And we're going to read one verse. 1 John chapter 4. Notice verse 4. It says this, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is of the world." He who is in you, the King James Version says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That's why you overcome. You cannot separate overcoming from faith. You cannot separate overcoming from the Holy Spirit. He's the greater one who lives in you. And because he lives in you, listen to me, and he's the author of the word, he will always point you to the Word of God, because that is the key that unlocks the door.
Amen.
He'll always point you to the Word of God.
Amen.
Because there's your freedom. He's given you the tools to not only open the door and get free, but stay free.
Amen.
Now, Here's what I want you to remember, this statement, and we'll continue in a few weeks with studying more of this. Victory is accomplished in Jesus. Or you could say it like this. Our victory is accomplished because of Jesus. But it's manifest in our lives by what we know and what we practice. Remember that. Our victory is accomplished in or because of Jesus. But it's manifest or shows up in our lives because of what we know and what we practice. Just because Jesus went to the cross and was raised from the dead and has obtained ultimate victory for you does not mean that you will experience it. Because if you don't know it, you won't experience it. Number one. And number two, if you don't use the tool, it won't work. Amen? You need a television mounted on the wall? Call me. No, just kidding. Use the tools. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And for some of you ladies, the nicest tool is your phone. Come call Bubba to come put this TV up. Amen? Hey, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Remember that? And here's the definition that I heard of being more than a conqueror. And this is appropriate because there's a new Rocky movie out, Creed, which is pretty good if you haven't seen it. Anyway, a fighter trains and trains and trains and fights and works his way up the ladder until he becomes a contender. Now he fights for the heavyweight championship of the world. He goes in, he knocks out the heavyweight champ. He is the victor, and the promoter hands him a check for X amount of dollars. And that fighter goes home. He is the victor and hands that check to his wife. He's the conqueror. She's more than a conqueror because she got the benefit and didn't have to fight the fight. I won't ask for a show of hands, but how many of you guys do that? You get paid, you go, here you go, mama. Yeah. Hey, that's fine. Glory to God. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Our victory is accomplished in or because of Jesus, but it shows up on our lives based on what we know and what we practice. Amen? Hallelujah. Did you learn anything today? Amen. Let's all stand. God is good, and His mercy endures forever.